This is the NBC Theater. From the NBC Theater in Hollywood, a new version of one of the most popular tales in the history of storytelling, Père Goriot by Honoré de Balzac. Today's adaptation is by Richard E. Davis of NBC. Hear it now.
Paris, success is everything. It is the key to power in a world which is a gathering place for dupes and rogues. A world which is a dirt pile. And clever indeed is the young man who can keep above it. Never forgetting, always remembering that success is everything. Especially with women.
Ah, what a delightful evening you have afforded me, Monsieur de Rastignac.
Baroness, why do you not call me Eugène? Such a favor would make this poor student so very, very happy.
I would almost be afraid to grant you any favor, Monsieur de Rastignac. But then you would want another, and then another. And soon there would be no stopping such an affair.
Am I so impossible, then, that such an affair is out of question?
We have just met, Monsieur. These matters take a little time. Like all hot-blooded young men, you are much too ardent.
That's because I'm in love with you, Baroness.
Oh, Eugène.
It's I, Garçon.
Oh, come in, my friend.
So, the young hero returns to his boarding house and the smell of cabbage after an evening in high society. Have a seat.
Thank you, Garçon. You're up late.
Medical students must study, Eugène, even though you brave boys from the law school seem to find it unnecessary. Of course, if you found yourself a princess with 100 million francs...
What did you say to a Baroness, Garçon? One of the most beautiful women in Paris.
Are you serious?
But absolutely. We met for the first time tonight at the opera. And already I'm aware that she's the most alive, most vibrant, the most gorgeous woman in Paris.
Why did she pick a poor son of an impoverished family like yourself, a student?
Because of her husband.
I fail to understand.
Because of her husband. The Baron is a banker, a German fellow, and he's not acceptable in the realm of higher society. Mm. So, consequently, neither is the Baroness acceptable. But, because of my noble cousin, Vicomtesse de Beauséant, I have the power to introduce the Baroness to the better people.
Oh, Eugène, you clever boy. Knowing this banker's wife would be like having a gilt-edged investment. You make her happy, and she will make you rich. Tell me, who is this woman?
She's the Baroness de Nucingen.
Eugène, in the name of the saints, no.
What do you mean? Do you know her?
Oh, we have never met, but I know her father. Even as you do yourself, he is the old man who lives here in the garret.
Do you mean old Père Goriot?
The very same.
But the Baroness is a woman of wealth. I don't understand.
Well, as it was told to me, Eugène, old Goriot grew rich under Bonaparte. He sold grain, a merchant, very successful. And he had two daughters. This one, your Baroness, and the other one who married a count. Once he lived with them. Now he lives here in a boarding house. That's the way it is. And nobody knows the answer to the mystery.
Perhaps so, Bianchon, but there is an answer to every mystery. I have a talk with Père Goriot. First thing in the morning. At breakfast.
I am glad, Monsieur de Rastignac, to learn that you had the pleasure of meeting my daughter, Baroness de Nucingen. She is beautiful, as you know.
Oh, indeed she is, Père Goriot.
Her sister, the Countess de Rusto, is very lovely also. Did you see her, monsieur?
Yes, it was my great pleasure to meet both ladies, Pecorio.
Did you think they were well-dressed?
Even as royalty, Pecorio.
Their gowns were magnificent.
Oh, but yes, and their jewels were superb.
None were more beautiful.
None. But tell me, Pecorio, do people not remark that, with your daughter so rich and comfortable, you're living here in such shambles as this?
You live here as well, Monsieur de Rastignac. And yet, you know my daughter. Oh,
yes, but I'm a poor law student with rich relatives who tolerate me.
Yeah, I fear my case is not quite the same. If my daughters enjoy themselves and are happy and well-dressed, if they walk on carpets, what does it matter? Stuff I put on, the sort of place I sleep in.
Yes, but why such a place as this boarding house? It's mean. It's a cold house.
I am not cold if my daughters are warm. When I became a father, Monsieur de Rastignac, I came to understand God. The whole of him is everywhere, since the creation came from him. That, my friend, is the way I am with my daughters. Only I love my daughters better than God loves the world. For the world isn't as fine as God. But my daughters are finer than I.
So, Eugene, you know my dear father. Well, the world is full of such coincidences.
He worships you, Baroness, and your sister.
Anastasie, I've always failed to understand why. My sister and I are so different from each other. And yet he loves her as much as I know he loves me. Strange.
Yes, but even more strange, if you'll forgive my saying so, is your father's living in perhaps the most dreadful boarding house in Paris.
What my father chooses to do, Eugene, is his own business. But we just simply must find you someplace else to live, where you will be more comfortable.
Oh, my dear Baroness, you know my circumstances. You embarrass me.
I'll have no protest, Eugene. Tomorrow I will arrange for you a bachelor's apartment. You will enjoy that. It's all the style.
I cannot live in your husband's money, Baroness.
Oh, don't worry yourself about that. I'll get the money elsewhere.
From whom?
Can't you guess, my dear boy? My own sweet, dear papa.
Oh, but this apartment completely overwhelms me, Pecorio.
But of course. That's as it should be, my boy.
How you must love your daughter to do this for me, Pecorio.
But naturally, I know you would be good to my daughter, Eugene. And besides, I have a reason all my own. I'm a selfish old man. I have a favor to beg of you.
You've only to ask.
There's a room here in this house in the attic. Give me your permission to live there so that I may be near my darling.
Oh, but of course, Pecorio. You've been so very kind.
Not at all. You should have seen her eyes light up when she told me she wanted this apartment, and I gave her the money.
I can imagine. But, Pecorio, there's something I must know. Where'd you get the money?
Well, if you must know, I sold a few things.
What were they?
What difference does it make? I really need so little, Yasha. My girls need so much. Someday you'll understand how I feel when they call me Papa. I see them again as little girls. I know only that I must make them happy.
You're a great man, Pecorio.
It must have been 10 years since I walked by the side of one of my daughters and we went buying things together. When we parted, I felt the warmth of her. When she kissed my cheek.
Oh. Now, Papa.
But now let us go back to the boarding house and pack our things.
Yes, today we leave the boarding house forever. May it perish.
That's the spirit of you. Oh. Perhaps you will hire a cab. Oh, I have the money. I do not
feel very well in my head.
When we get back, you must rest yourself. I'll send the medical student Bianchon to have a look at you.
Bianchon, how goes it with old Gabriel?
Well enough for the moment, Eugene. Maybe with us for years, but then he may be gone within the hour from a stroke of apoplexy.
Is there nothing we can do for him?
Well, the most important remedy in a case like this is quiet, peace of mind. If we can give him that, we can give him years of life.
What was that, Bianchon?
Sounded like old Gario's door. I told him not to get up and walk around. Now listen to the old fool. I'm going over there and tie him into bed.
Wait, Bianchon. That was not Père Goriot you heard, huh? The door of his vista.
What do you mean?
Look here through the window, Bianchon.
Eh?
See? Waiting in the street below, a magnificent carriage.
Oh, what elegance.
The carriage belongs to the Baroness de Nucingen. She is the visitor.
Hmm? Does this wealthy daughter know that her old father is ill?
I don't think so. You and I are the only ones who know.
The mystery of old Goriot deepens, Eugene. But let us find out what has brought your fine baroness to this stinkhole of a boarding house.
Wait, Bianchon. What a man is receiving his daughter. You can't break in on him.
That will not be necessary, Eugene. All we need do is open the transom and listen to what they are saying. There. Now listen.
Delphine, what is so urgent that you come here to this dreadful place?
Papa, I am ruined. Huh? And it is all your fault.
I'm not dry, your dears, Delphine. Tell your old father what has happened.
It is you who are to blame. You should never have let me marry such a man as the Baron.
Well, you told me you were in love with him.
I was just a child. I didn't know what I was doing. You were my father. You should have saved me from him.
Delphine, how can you blame me for this? I've not done everything for you since the day you were born.
I don't want to hear your excuses. What good are they now that my money is gone?
What are you saying? Delphine!
My personal fortune, Papa. The Baron has invested my money in foreign securities. Oh. That's the real reason why I asked you for the money to set up the apartment for you, Shane. And today when I asked him again for money, he refused me. And he said if I press him, he will leave the country and I will be left penniless and... Oh, Papa, it is all your fault.
Worse luck, eh, Eugene? It seems like your little baroness is out of funds. Be safe. Someone else at the door.
Anastasie.
Papa. Oh, Papa.
It's the other sister, the Countess of Restore.
I wonder if her luck has run out as well.
Oh, Papa, you must help me. The most terrible things are happening.
Oh, what do you say, Anastasie? Estelle, now you... Oh, my poor old head won't stand the double disaster.
Papa, it all began when my husband found out about my dear Maxine.
Oh, Anastasie, you don't mean to say that your husband just discovered that gambler lover of yours that you've been keeping for the last 5 years.
Please, Delphine, do try to be a little more delicate in front of our father.
Girls, please don't quarrel. If you had a lover, Anastasie, I know why. It was because your husband was such a monster. Was it not?
The Count would never have known at all if dear Maxine had not gambled so heavily and fallen so far into debt.
Oh. And how much this time, Anastasie?
100,000 francs. Papa, they were going to throw Maxime into prison, so to save him, I sold my husband's family diamonds.
Anastasie, you must have been mad. Could you not foresee the consequences?
They're even worse than you imagine. The Count has seized my personal fortune, and I'm penniless.
Oh, no, my poor daughter.
Papa, there's even more. The money from the sale of the diamonds was not enough. Maxime will go to jail soon unless I raise another 12,000 francs. Oh, you've got to give them to me.
For the first time in your life, Anastasie, I must tell you, I do not have the money.
I don't believe you. You had the money to set up the apartment for Delphine's lover. Eugene de Rustignac.
For that, I had to sell an annuity, part of my income.
Well, then you must sell more, or Maxime will go to jail.
Oh, darling, I am helpless.
Well, there must be something you can do.
There is nothing. I have only one annuity left. Without the income it brings, I'll starve. There's nothing left but my love for you, Anastasie. In sorrow, I kiss your little hand.
Papa,
their hands. They're so dirty.
Oh, forgive me. I was trying to pack a few things. I was going to leave here for a happier place today. But now, I wonder if I will ever make it. I'm ill. The inside of my head is on fire. It's as if someone held a flame to my brain.
Well, I'm terribly sorry, Papa. We've inconvenienced you. Meanwhile, perhaps Delphine and I had best be going, since we distress you so. Because you can do nothing for us.
Yes, perhaps that would be better. Besides, Papa, tonight Eugène de Rastignac is introducing us to his cousin, the Vicomtesse de Beauvillon. She's giving a ball, you know.
So we'd better be hurrying along to dress. Good day, Papa. Coming, sister?
Yes, Delphine.
Good day, Papa. See you another time.
Quickly, Eugene. Take his feet and help me put him on the bed.
Oh, Papa, Papillon.
Here, Papa. Let Bianchon have a look at you.
Think he's suffered a stroke?
Without a doubt.
Can you stay here with him the rest of the afternoon, Bianchon?
It's out of the question. I must report to the hospital. What of yourself?
I want to call on the Baroness to beg her help.
Fine, Mother. Good, that will do from what we have heard today. But go, by all means. Daughters should be told when their father is dying. It is only proper.
State your business, Eugène, quickly. I was just about to start dressing for the ball.
Your father has suffered a stroke.
Oh? How very unfortunate.
A medical student who examined him fears for his life. Will you come and sit by his bedside?
If my father is about to die, Eugène, I fail to see what good that will do. Naturally, the news distresses me, and it is most regrettable because, well, it means that I shall be upset now, and that will probably cause me difficulty with my dressing, and that will make us late for the ball.
Then you will not go see your father.
Eugène, it isn't for you to tell me what I must do for my father. Go home and dress, Eugène. We must start early tonight. If we're caught in the file of carriages, we'll be lucky to arrive by 11 o'clock. Hurry home, Eugène.
Oh, good to see you, Eugène. Sit down.
How is he?
He's still sleeping. But for some reason, he seems worse. Tell me, what of the daughters?
Delphine refused to come. Anastasie was not at home.
Pigs.
Yeah. What are we to do now, Bianchon?
I will stay here, Eugène. You will go to the ball.
How can I dance while he's dying?
One must be practical, Eugène. It would never do for you not to appear tonight.
I suppose you're right. Huh? What awful world this is.
The world, Eugène, is a fine place. But the people, that is a different matter. Go to the dance. I will stay here. Go and give your Baroness the finest evening she ever had.
All right. But only because it gives me an opportunity to plead for old Goriot will I go to the ball.
Oh, Eugène, I'm sorry this evening is over. It was the most delightful ball of my life.
My dear Baroness, I'm so glad for you.
Really, Eugène. You dance more divinely each time we meet. I'm growing terribly fond of you.
Then prove your affection for me. Go see your father.
Eugène, why must we talk of that?
Because there are some things one cannot be silent about.
Then why don't you take your sermons to my sister, the dear Comtesse? I'm sure it was she who caused my father to be so ill.
It's not easy to divide the blame, Baroness.
Did you notice my sister's gold lamé gown this evening?
DJs? Must have cost a small fortune.
Well, Papa paid for the gold lamé dress after she went to see him this afternoon.
But how's that possible? He was in bed this afternoon.
But not all afternoon, my dear Eugène.
What are you saying?
Simply that late this afternoon, the dressmaker refused to give my sister her dress for the ball.
This is while I was at your house?
I suppose so. Anastasie was furious. Without the dress, she couldn't come to the ball.
So she went to dear Papa.
But he was ill in bed.
So you told me. But apparently he got up and dressed himself and went out and procured the money for her.
Oh. So that's why he was worse than I returned this afternoon.
Dear Papa has given Anastasie the cash from his last annuity.
But in the name of the saints, if he sold his last annuity, how'll he live?
What difference will it make, really? If what you say is true, Eugene, he may not live anyway.
Come in.
How is he?
I don't think he will last the night, Eugene. He sent the porter to his daughter's home, begging them to come to their poor father's side in his dying hour.
Let's hope they'll come, despite what we know of them. Meanwhile, Bianca, you're tired. Go ahead and have some sleep, and I'll stay here.
All right, Eugene. I will go. If you think you need me, please call.
How are you, Papa?
Oh, it is you here, my dear boy. Did you see my daughters tonight?
Yes, and they were beautiful, Papa.
They'll soon be here, won't they? They'll hurry to me as soon as they know I'm so sick.
Oh, you mustn't worry yourself.
Yeah, it is not for myself I'm concerned, but the grief I'll give my daughters if I die.
Now you mustn't talk, Papa. You mustn't excite yourself. Listen, Papa. Someone at the outside door. Perhaps it's there.
But of course, it is my daughters. Go down and let them in, Eugene.
Yasha has already gone down, Papa. I heard his steps.
That is good. For I don't have much time. You did not believe they'd come to see their old father. You did not say so. But you did not believe they'd come.
Oh, here's Yasha.
Yasha, you're alone. Where are my daughters? Why have you refused to admit my daughters? Why are you keeping them from me?
I opened the door, Papa. But they were not there. It was the porter. He had come back alone.
Oh, my daughters. Why have you forsaken me?
Yasha, to the porter's saying why you would not come.
The Comtesse de Restaud was in a deep discussion over money with her husband. The Baroness Delphine was sleeping, and the maid refused to awaken her. What heartless animal can they be, Yasha? Leaving them to face the end here, alone.
Don't have children. You give them life. They give you death.
Can't we do something for him?
The end is almost upon him now.
Money gives you everything, even daughters. If I had treasures to leave, they'd be here, looking after me, changing my bandages.
They may come yet, Papa. We mustn't give up hope.
But when the porter is sent at night and says, your father is dying, they do not come, Eugene. Oh, Delphine, Anastasie, where are you?
Hold his shoulders, Eugene.
My children.
Oh, Papa, got him.
Do not wait for him, Eugene. But the world which he leaves, the world which breeds such sorrow.
Is he dead, Bianca?
It's only a matter of a minute or two before he'll be gone.
Papa?
Sounds like one of the elegant daughters is coming after you.
Countess Anastasie.
Eugene, how is my poor Papa?
I regret, Countess, but your father is breathing his last.
No. No, I won't let it happen. Oh, Papa. Papa, you used to say that my voice would call you back from the grave.
Anastasie?
Listen to me, Papa. My children hate me. My lover has deserted me. My husband has taken away all my money. Now I need you, Papa. Oh, pity me. Pity me, Papa. Pity your daughter in her sorrow.
You
waste breath, Comtesse. Your father is dead. Murdered.
No.
Yes. Murdered by the lack of love, which every man must have if he is to live in this world.
How can you talk to me like that? Have you no pity?
Comtesse, your father gave you his wealth, which you spent. His heart, which you tore into bits. And his love, which you spat upon. Only he would have given you the pity which you asked for, but now he's gone. And it's too late for pity.
And so we bring our tale to an end. Although the story which it tells is timeless, the handsome side of Paris knows nothing of the moral and physical suffering which we have shown. But Paris is a veritable ocean. Take as many soundings in it as you will, you never know its depth. There will always be some unknown cavern, some flowers and pearls and monsters, something unheard of, something forgotten by the literary divers. Our story has been one of those curious monstrosities.
You have heard Père Goriot by Honoré de Balzac, as adapted for radio by Richard E. Davis. In our cast today, Balzac was portrayed by Stanley Waxman. Delphine was Vivie Janis. Eugène was Dana Herlihy. Bianchon was John Stevenson. Goriot was Stephen Chase. Anastasie was Michael Ann Barrett. Your announcer, Don Stanley. Be with us next week at the NBC Theater for a dramatization of Stendhal's masterpiece, The Red and the Black. It is our pleasure to be able to tell you that on this occasion, the NBC Theater will resume its full hour length and will be heard at a new time. Over most of these stations, the theater broadcasts will be heard on Thursday nights, commencing next week, Thursday, November 2nd. That is Stendhal's The Red and the Black on Thursday night, November 2nd. Your newspaper will list the exact hour. On the following Thursday, we will bring you Les Misérables by Victor Hugo, and then Charles Dickens' Great Expectations. These broadcasts of the NBC Theater are sponsored by the National Broadcasting Company as part of a college-supervised course in world literature. If you wish to increase your own knowledge and appreciation of the great novels and novelists, we suggest that you write for full information on these correspondence courses. Write to the NBC Theater in care of one of the following universities or colleges: the University of Louisville, Louisville, Kentucky; Kansas State Teachers College, Pittsburgh, Kansas; the University of Tulsa, Tulsa, Oklahoma; Texas College of Arts and Industries, Kingsville, Texas; and Brooklyn College, Brooklyn, New York. Executive producer for the NBC Theater is Wade Arnold. The director of the NBC Theater is Andrew C. Love. This program came to you from Hollywood. Three chimes mean good times on NBC. Joan Fontaine and Humphrey Bogart star in the Theatre Guild on the Air presentation of A Farewell to Arms tonight on NBC. Sunday evening also, it's the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show with Phil and Alice, plus the doubtful health of Frankie Remley and that sweet child Julius. Three chimes are your invitation. Now stay tuned for those amazing quiz kids on NBC.